Here's a couple things we need to know, though. First of all, the Texans are digging in. They're not giving in. They're digging in. They're not abandoning their pursuit of Caserio. They still want him, so expect this to be ongoing. Two, there is a way to solve this potentially with draft pick compensation, because it's hard to imagine Andrew Caserio going back to New England after they filed tampering charges for a team trying to hire him. This may end up coming to kind of fruition with draft picks going either way and the Texans getting a new GM.
That's Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network. I like the idea of the Texans digging in and not relenting, not doing anything dumb, but just holding their water and being calm on the pursuit of Nick Caserio.
I like it too. This is, as I drove around yesterday after the show and thought about everything kind of settled in, I started to get actually angry. Like, I felt like I was being bullied. I felt like the Patriots were trying to bully me into being okay with giving up draft picks for Nick Caserio. The Texans, look, they've put themselves in a pickle. Make no mistake about that. They've put themselves in a pickle to where now they've got to get Nick Caserio. But that's what the Patriots are using. They're saying, well, yeah, we really can't block this, but we can whine a whole lot about it. We can complain, and maybe we can try to call in a favor from our boy Goodell or something. And that's exactly what they're doing. Until I get more evidence, and it's been, what, 48 hours now or so? I'd like to see a shred of evidence more than just, hey, these two guys who were already friends were talking to each other at a ring ceremony, and then the next day they wanted to hire the guy. Because Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio share an agent, I would imagine they've got each other's phone numbers. The notion that somehow they needed this ring ceremony to get the deal done or make a move on Caserio is so foolish. It's really just dumb. And it's been an offseason full of, frankly, the Patriots. Can you imagine what the Patriots could do without Bob Kraft? Because really right now, like the Patriots for all of their glory, but then also all of their scandal, probably the most like just outright humiliating scandal they've had is Bob Kraft in his massage parlor.
It's a bad look.
It's a really bad look. Like, no, I'm talking about like sheer humiliation. Like, if you have to come home for Thanksgiving, and these are your two choices. You have to tell grandmama that either your quarterback got in trouble for deflating a ball allegedly,
yep,
or your boss got caught in a sex scandal in a massage parlor.
Yeah, the second
Florida,
one's more
allegedly.
Humiliating.
That's a little bit more humiliating.
Agreed.
Would you rather be Tom Brady or Bob Kraft?
Tom Brady.
If all you have to do is tell that story. Like, yeah, that's your defining, like, you get to be rich, you get to be famous, but you have to choose one of these two.
That story.
Deflategate or massage parlor. Okay. I'm choosing Deflategate in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Fair enough.
So Bob Kraft basically making everything even more difficult than it needs to be. And I feel bad. At this point, I was trying to think about like what I was saying about Jack Easterby yesterday, because I threw a bunch of hypotheticals out there saying that, okay, if Easterby is actually like the problem here and he did something wrong, then I felt like it would be really, really bad for Easterby because he was hired as a guy who was a character coach,
yep,
coming in. But looking at what I know right now, I don't see what the Patriots could possibly have. And if they had anything, wouldn't it have leaked already? Like, wouldn't they have already leaked it? Wouldn't somebody know?
I don't know.
So I got, like, at this point, knowing what I know, I got to tell the Texans, yeah, screw them. They're going to try to extract a pick out of you. Screw them. They get nothing. Nothing.
I agree right now. Yeah. I agree. There's no evidence the Texans have done anything wrong. Now, I realize the timing looks suspicious that Jack Easterby, the new, you know, vice president of team development, was at the Patriots ring ceremony. The next day, they fire Brian Gain, and they put in the interview request for Nick Caserio. I get that it looks suspicious. But there's still no evidence that they actually tampered with Nick Caserio.
Right.
There's still no actual evidence that they tampered with him.
And not to mention, and this is what's so extra stupid about it, based on kind of the murky rules and guidelines for whether you can interview another team's executive, the Texans didn't even need, I mean, they, I guess, technically have to ask permission, but the Patriots weren't going to be able to block Caserio coming to the Texans.
Because he's not their GM.
So, like, the notion that the Texans somehow tampered over, above, and beyond what would normally be gotten away with, you know, those kind of standard operating procedure, is dumb. Like, you're accusing the Texans of going after an employee they're allowed to go after. And, like, frankly, this is the Patriots, hopefully, they're hoping they can nab somebody driving 27 in a 25. Like, they're hoping that they can just get a penalty. Oh, we got you on a jaywalking violation because you were three steps outside the crosswalk. You know, like, this is what the Patriots, of all entities, the Patriots who make a living. Well, you know what? No, that makes perfect sense. The Patriots make a living right on the boundaries of the rules. Like, that's what they do with Spygate. I think that the Patriots still believe that they didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
Yes.
Because they had a merc. They had a.
It was a gray area.
They had an aggressive interpretation of a gray area of the rule book. Okay, kudos to you. But that's what they do. Like, all these little tiny edges. That's what they're doing right here. They think they might have a tiny edge. They think, okay, well, there's a way we could try to make this look like tampering. So we're going to try to get, like, maybe we'll just extort a sixth or seventh round pick out of the Texans.
Well, could it be as simple as they're upset about losing Nick Caserio and they feel like the timing is suspicious, and so they just want to see what they can get.
But the timing, it's not that suspicious. Well, like, even if everything happened exactly the way they're going to claim it is, it's like, it's so standard and not a big deal.
Well, this is, well, when I say that, I'm not even harping on that part of it. I'm just saying this is a team that filed tampering charges, the Patriots, against the Jets, when the Jets signed Darrelle Revis a couple of years ago. And this is when the Patriots didn't even want Darrelle Revis back.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even want Darrelle Revis back, and they filed tampering charges against the Jets. Now, they hate the Jets. I don't think they hate the Texans nearly as much.
They might now. I kind of hope, not that I wish hatred upon anybody, but just for the sheer drama of it, boy, it's good.
Yes.
Good soap opera if Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick now hate each other.
Listen, I'm going to make this statement right now. If Bill O'Brien punched Belichick in the face, he can have a job here for life. All right? You can be the Texans coach for life. You can go 9-7 every year. If you do me that favor, you can be my coach for life.
I'd like him to punch him in the scoreboard first.
That would be also nice. That.
Maybe on...
Let's do both.
Maybe in the red zone, punch it in.
I'll take them both.
Instead of kicking field goals. I would say that if the one actual real benefit of Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick hating each other would be that maybe that's what it would take for Bill O'Brien to get over that dad strength.
Hatred.
That dad strength that Belichick has. Yeah, exactly. When you finally see the flaws in your father and you can move on past them for people in a dysfunctional, like, let's talk about, that's a dysfunctional father-son relationship now, isn't it? Belichick has this a lot. He has it all over the league. He has these guys who look at Belichick as a father figure. By which, and then Belichick uses that to completely exploit that relationship in trades.
December 1st.
And win every single trade. So
December 1st.
This would be Bill O'Brien stepping away from that dysfunctional relationship. You know what it is? It's Bill Belichick is the father who takes out a credit card with his 16-year-old social security number and then wrecks that 16-year-old's credit. That's what Belichick is.
And the 16-year-old is happy about it.
Yeah, the 16-year-old's like, oh, I'm helping out dad. Yeah. Oh, thanks, dad. Oh, you came to my birthday party. It's been so long. Thank you. Yes, sure. Here's my social security number. My last three addresses? Of course. I know we move around a lot. Here you go. Yeah.
Okay, one thing we also need to get to as well on a Friday, Mike and Seth. So there's a discrimination complaint. There's a former Texans security coordinator named Jeff Pope. He filed a discrimination complaint with the EEOC against the Texans. They have denied this allegation. So Jeff Pope was a security coordinator. He was dismissed by the Texans. He was fired on May 8th. He's been with the team for 2 years, since 2019. The Texans released a statement, and it says, quote, "We have been made aware of Mr. Pope's claim. We do not comment on pending litigation. The Houston Texans do not tolerate personal or professional discrimination of any kind." Now, Seth, the Aaron Wilson story says Jeff Pope was fired, per his sources, for job performance issues, including falsifying payroll and overtime records. I know there's a bunch of stuff on the internet about this when it comes to some of the people the Texans have let go of. Seems like Rick Smith guys brought in their own guys, uh-huh. And there are some, I guess, issues when it comes to race and all that kind of stuff. As far as Jeff Pope goes, listen, it's an EEOC complaint, and which I'm just going to take as the equivalent. I know it's before a lawsuit, but I'll just take it as the equivalent of a lawsuit. There are a lot of allegations. His attorney has a bunch of quotes, you know, basically claiming that Brian Gain is a racist.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is a serious charge on somebody.
No, and I think, because you always have to point out that there are allegations in a lawsuit. And, yes. If sports media, for whatever, seems to be really bad at this, they'll hear allegations in a lawsuit and almost start reporting it as fact. The Texans' counterpoint to this, or counter-argument, according to Aaron Wilson, is that there were falsified pay records. Is it misreported overtime?
It is.
Yeah. So
falsifying
so,
payroll and overtime records.
So which of these two are telling the truth, which are lying? I don't know. But it's one person filing a complaint, which, like, anytime anybody files a complaint, by all means, take it seriously. I was waiting for another shoe to drop where, okay, if this is a case of Brian Gain coming in and firing African Americans, then are there other complainants here? Is there anybody else making this complaint or adding themselves onto this suit? So far, there hasn't been. So right now, this is like what happens to corporations all the time. Disgruntled employees, sometimes justly, sometimes unjustly, file a complaint, and we'll see what happens with it. And that's been always our policy on this show when somebody files a complaint in a lawsuit and there's no other evidence one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm in wait and see approach on that. I choose not to believe anything until I have any actual evidence. Yeah. There was also a statement that Amy Palsik, who runs communications at the Texans, put out there within this story, which is the claim by Jeff Pope was not a factor in the decision to relieve Brian Gain from his job as GM. I do have an opinion on that, which is I agree with that. I don't think this stuff had anything to do with Brian Gain getting fired. I think Brian Gain getting fired had everything to do with erosion and the ability to get Nick Caserio. That is my take on this whole situation.